Good morning. If you would like to support the ministry here, or yours truly, you may send your gifts, your tithes, your offerings to P.O. Box 67, Chicora, Pennsylvania, 16025. That's Chicora, Pennsylvania, C-H-I-C-O-R-A, Pennsylvania, 16025. P.O. Box 67, Chicora, Pennsylvania, 16025. And may God richly bless you. Praise the Lord. You know, long ago, Almighty God began using men to write down His operating manual for mankind. Long ago, long before any of us came on the planet. And He used a good number of different people at different times, and the message is consistently the same. It's all found in that book that we call the Bible. It's all written together in the compilation of 66 books. And there are some other works that some people include in the canon of Scripture and others don't. And I'm not going to get into that. But the bottom line is God did that. God created that book so that we would have His Word to edify us, to build us up. And it's written in John chapter 15, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." As I have loved you means the same way. In the same way that He loved, He wants us to love. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes it's very difficult for us. Sometimes it's nearly impossible to love other people in the way that He loved, because He loved sacrificially. He gave of Himself. He gave of His substance. He gave His whole life for those who didn't love Him. If you enter the new covenant with your Creator, it provides a new way of interacting with Him and with each other. It provides a new way of interacting with all that you encounter in your lives. It's quite remarkably a new way of living, because you are reborn. You're a new creation. This is what the Scripture shows. You're no longer the old man or woman. You're a new creation in Christ. And if you enter that covenant and you learn to interact with God and other people in that new way, then others recognize that something's happened. There's a change in you. You're no longer the way that you were. It's written, "As many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." That's in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. This is of God. You have been changed. And the way that that is seen or observed is in how you live your life. It's observed in the way that you interact with each other. It's the way that you interact with others that come into your life. It's the way that you interact with your Creator. If you're a child of God, you will look like a child of God. Others will observe that change in you. When once you were a child of the world and you become a child of the Heavenly Father, the Creator, you're now filled with His Spirit. You live differently. You become literally become a different person. And you'll love God completely. And you'll love everyone else as yourself. That's what He says. My people know My word. They live the way that I've lived. This is what Christ said. If you love the way that He loved, if you obey His commandments, you will. If you love Him, you will obey His commandments. If you obey His commandments, you will see a change in your life. All right, I want you to open your Bibles to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You'll find that on page 1768 in the Bibles there in your seats. Page 1768, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this passage of Scripture gives the most complete understanding of what love is. And so when somebody says, what is love? You can turn to chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians and you can read it to them. If anybody ever asks you, what is love, Dougie? You can read chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians to them. And that will help them to realize what it is that God says love is. Because man can say anything they want. People can say whatever they want love is. People could say, well, love is a green carpet. Or love is a dark ceiling. Or love is a tan wall. Or whatever. You know, people can say love is something. But God says what it is in His perspective. From His perspective. So let's read there. We're going to start with verse 1 and read following. And this is God's definition of love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and that's an allusion to what Christ said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be ye removed and cast into the sea, and it will obey you. And so here is Paul writing to the church in Corinth something that Christ himself said. He said, though I have all faith that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned or to be martyred, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And now we get into the part where he says what love is. He says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. And then he goes into verse 1 in chapter 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Speaking about the preacher, preaching the word. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would guide us as we go forward in this message, that your will would be done. And Father, I surrender myself completely to you. I ask that you would forgive my shortcomings. Give me unction to preach your word today, Father. I can't do this without you. I'm weak. I'm beggarly without you. Open all of our ears to hear. Open the eyes of our understanding. Remove, Lord, please remove all distractions from our thinking. Please help us to hide your word in our hearts so that we might not sin against you. We believe, Father, And yet there is so much unbelief in the world that we're challenged. So we ask that you would help us to conquer unbelief. Pour your Spirit upon everyone who hears this message today, Father, and we pray this all in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Last week we read from the 15th chapter of John's gospel record, John chapter 15. And in verse 9 we hear, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide, remain, stay in my love. And we all have generalized conceptions of what love is. And I thought the best way to follow that up would be to define it biblically. Not our way, not what we think love is. If you ask a child what love is, they might say, well, love is when my mom gives me gifts. Or love is when my mom gives me a hug. Or love is whatever it is from a child's perspective. And see, this is what Paul went into in his letter to the church in Corinth. He said, when I was a child, I thought of things differently. But now that I'm an adult, I need to learn what an adult sees, how the adult is, what the adult wants to understand. And if we really get down to it, he's talking about the Word of God. Because our perspective changes as we become adults. Now, before we were born again, we had an idea of what love was. And once we are born again, then that perspective or that perception changes. We're no longer the pre-born again. We have been renewed by the Spirit of God. At least, I pray that all of you have been. Our gratitude for His erasure of our sin debt now manifests in the way that we interact with Him and the way that we interact with others. That debt erasure, taking away all of that we owed. It's like that servant who bowed down before his master and said, please forgive me my debt. He could never be forgiven. It was too big of a debt. And the master said, you're forgiven. And then when he went back out and he found somebody that owed him a pittance in comparison, grabbed the guy by the scruff of the neck, threw him in jail until he would pay him. And then what happened? He lost his forgiveness because his master came and said, well, wait a minute. I heard what you did. That's not good. You didn't forgive him. Shouldn't you have forgiven him because I forgave you? That's the essence of love. The lack of forgiveness is the lack of love. And our gratitude for that, the fact that our debt's been erased, is seen in how we live. With the Holy Spirit as our guide, we actively live in grace, the grace of God. Excuse me. We live in that state or the condition of loving as He loved. We want to love as He loved. We express that to Him and to one another and to the world. And part of the way we do that is by sharing the good news, by taking the message of Christ out into the world. Because after all, you have the medicine that the world needs. And it's found where? Right there in that book that we call the Bible, the Word of God. It's quite remarkably, as I said, a new way of living. The passage that we started with this morning gives us the most complete definition of love ever written from God's perspective. Love is tells the reader and hearer that the definition of love from God's ideas, His Almighty God's perspective, how He sees it, not from our opinions. Because we all have opinions on what love is. You know, my wife and I have opinions of how we express our love for one another. You all have opinions about how you express your love, whether it be for children or grandchildren, whether it be for your spouse, whether it be for your friends or family members. You have a perspective. You have an idea of what that means to love others. If you keep my commandments, Jesus said, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. I remain in His love, He's saying. And if you keep my commandments, you will also remain in that state of love. But too often, we see people aren't keeping the commandments that Christ lays out, and therefore they are not loving. They're not loving God, and they're not loving each other. And that's a heartbreaker. It breaks God's heart. And I'll tell you, as a pastor, I've seen it happen here in this very congregation, and it breaks my heart. I want people to understand that it's the love of God that we express. None of us can love too much. None of us can be too compassionate. None of us can be too forgiving. We have been forgiven a great debt that we could never pay back, and Almighty God says, you do the same. There's no too much when it comes to love. When you get it God's way, when you look at it from His perspective, you can't love too much. The Holy Spirit gives us that power to have an unnatural love. It's a supernatural love. It's not normal. It's beyond physical. It's Holy Spirit powered. See, anybody who's done any car racing will tell you, there's fuel and then there's racing fuel, okay? And you fill that car with racing fuel, buddy, it's going to run on all eight cylinders. It's going to tear down the road as fast as it can go. You put in some inferior fuel, it's not going to run so good. And when you have the fuel of the Holy Spirit within you, you're running on all eight, and they're hitting dead center. You're going the way God wants you to go, and you're doing what He wants you to do. I didn't have that in my notes here, but obviously maybe somebody who's a race car driver is going to listen to this message. I don't know. Maybe some of you guys like to do the strip once in a while. I don't know. That passage that we started with tells us the definition of love. And he says that if we keep His commandments, just as He loved, we will love. Excuse me. The text of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 gives us that complete understanding. In the first three verses, we learn how worthless our lives are without love. It doesn't matter how religious you are. It doesn't matter what you think of yourself. When you don't love the way that He says to love, without love, the most eloquent speaker. I could be the most eloquent speaker, but if I don't have love, what do you say? It's just making noise. It's a clanging cymbal, it's a ringing bell, whatever. Oh, you might get attention. It doesn't mean a thing. He said, without love, whether you have the gift of prophecy or discernment, knowledge, faith, they're nothing. Nothing without love. So those who have the gift of teaching, or those who have the gift of preaching, or those who have the gift of understanding and recognizing, the Holy Spirit guides them into understanding things that maybe the rest of us don't. Without love, it is absolutely nothing. That's what the Scripture says. It doesn't say, well, it's okay because the Holy Spirit gives you these gifts, and there are lots of gifts the Holy Spirit endows people with, and if they don't walk in love, and I've experienced it within the church, there are people within the church that have been blessed by the Holy Spirit with the power of Almighty God to do things that others can't, and they don't have love, and God cancels them out. We have to be aware of that. He says it's nothing without love, absolutely nothing. He said without love, generous giving to the poor is worthless. Oh, you can do your alms, you can take care of people, you can make sure they're fed, you can make sure they're clothed, because Jesus says to do those things, right? Our Lord says, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those who are sick and in prison. You can do all that stuff, but if you do it without love, if you're just doing it because you want to do it, just because it says to do it, well, I checked that one off, I did that. Oh, I checked that one off, I did that. Oh, I checked that one off, I did that. Ain't I a good Christian? No. If you don't have love, it's nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's what the Scripture says. That's not my opinion. That's God's opinion. And see, when we get it from His perspective, when we look at it from His way of thinking, when we look at it from His way, His view, His what He wants, we see it differently. It's no longer about us. It's not about what I get. It's not about what I want. It's not about me being in control or in power. It's about Him running my life the way He wants to. And that means we have to surrender. I've preached enough messages on surrender. Anybody who's heard them should know what that means. But basically it means, okay, I throw up my hands, put up the white flag. I said, that's it, God, I'm done. I'm not fighting you anymore. Have your will. Have your way, Lord. We sing it. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the the clay. Make me and mold me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. We sing it, but do we do it? Because that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying here. We're going to do it his way, not our way. Because it doesn't profit anything to do it his, to do it our way. If we do it his way, we're right on track. And as we go into the love is statements, because the next five verses tell us what love is and what it is not. And it gives it in this sort of a up and down way. Love is not. Love is, love is not. So I'm going to break it apart so we get all the love is first, and then we'll look at the love is not. Love is long suffering. It suffers long, okay? It means to patiently and bravely persevere in the face of trouble. It means to patiently and what else? Bravely persevere whenever there's trouble. When the world seems to be falling apart or you're coming under persecution for your faith, you persevere. You don't throw up the hand and say, that's it, I'm done. You stick it out. You do what is right by God, not by yourself, not by anybody else. That's what his word says. It's clear. Love suffers long. Love is long-suffering. It's patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. Somebody, look, I'm walking down the street, and I'm walking with somebody, okay? We're both walking the same direction. We got the same opinion. We're going the same place, okay? At least we think we are. We're walking, and I accidentally step on their toe. I didn't mean to. I said, oh, look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on your toe. And a little way down, I do it again. I got big feet, okay? I step sideways, I stumble, whatever. You know, I got an uneven gait, whatever it is. I'm stepping on somebody's toe. I don't mean to, and I apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on your toe. Then it happens again. I didn't mean to. I'm really sorry. And it happens again. And they, oh, no problem. I forgive you, brother. You've repented. I forgive you. It's all good. And then they come back and say, wait a minute. You stepped on my toes 5 times while we were walking to the store. I say, well, I thought you forgave me. I thought we got through that. I thought that was all fixed up. No, they treasure it in their heart, and they bring it out another time, and that's beyond what God said. It's not what we're to do. That's not love. That is not love. That's contrary to love. That's what God says. That's not what I say. That's not my opinion. It's his word, and I live by that to the best of my ability. You can't love too much. Love is long-suffering. That means to be mild and slow to anger. Yeah, you're walking down the road, same example. You step on somebody's toe, and bam, they blow up on you. Hey, you stepped on my toe. Who do you think you are stepping on my toe? Hey, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Honestly, I didn't. And you're walking a little further, you step on their toe, and boom, they blow up again. And, you stepped on my toe. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. It's the same thing. Okay, it's the opposite. You're to be mild and slow to anger, slow to punish others. And see, the picture here is of God, because we are stepping on God's toes all the time. Maybe it's something we said, maybe it's something we didn't say, maybe it's something we did, maybe it's something we didn't do. We're stepping on God's toes, and he doesn't pop off and smack us in the head. He could flick us off the planet in any moment. But he doesn't do that, because he is long-suffering, and there are many passages of Scripture to tell us that. The Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness. That's found in Exodus chapter 34. The Lord is long-suffering, and Christ our Lord is saying, you be like that, okay? You be like that. Love in the way that he loves. And when you love the way that he loves, you don't pop off when somebody steps on your toe. Hey, brother, you stepped on my toe. Look, you scuffed my shoe. I'm going to have to get the pastor to shine it for me. Love is long-suffering. It's not easily provoked. It bears injuries and provocation for a long time. And now it's not talking about accidental stuff. It's talking about deliberate stuff. Okay? People who are injuring you and provoking you continually. And you bear with it. You deal with it. And maybe at some point in time, you got to do like Jesus said and wipe the dust off your feet and walk forward and go on. Sometimes we don't like to do that, but that's what has to happen. But it says you bear with it, okay? When you look up the definition of the word long-suffering and the root word behind it, the Greek word behind it, You see that it is slow to anger, slow to punish. And you're not popping off. You're dealing with injuries and provocation, whether they're intentional or unintentional. And then the next thing we see is love is kind. Love is kind. So if I ask the children, what is love? They could say, love is kind. Love is kind. Well, what's that mean? It means to think favorably of other people and to do them good. And what's the opposite of thinking favorably of somebody else? Thinking negatively of them. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, and all evil speaking be put away from you, and put all away all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. When you're kind, you're inclined to be kind to the people, even whenever they harm you or they do something that you perceive to be harmful. When you perceive something to be wrong, you're inclined to treat others well instead of not well. You supply their needs or you assist them in distress. I'm going down the road and I see a neighbor that's maybe not friendly. They've got a flat tire. I stop and give them a hand. Why would you help me? Well, because the Lord says to. I've done that many times. And I've been accused of being too kind, too loving, too forgiving. But I'm telling you, folks, you can't be too any of those things. You can't. Because the Scripture makes it clear this is what it means. You are to be loving. You are to be kind. And it's written in 1 Peter chapter 3, finally, all of you, he's talking to all of us too, you know, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Don't return evil for evil. Don't return reviling for reviling. You ever have somebody get up in your face? Rah, 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 rah. I have. Don't return that. You don't rah, 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 back at them. Oh, okay. Way to be you. But that's not the way I'm going to be. You don't return that to them. And sometimes you've got to return your peace to yourself. Chris and I were talking about this on our trip. We need to be at peace. We need to be people of peace. And when you think about love, being kind, that kindness helps to foster peace. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 33, our Lord said, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? He was talking about that parable that I alluded to earlier when he said that the man was forgiven this big, great debt. And then he didn't forgive somebody else, so there was a little tiny debt. He said, shouldn't you have had compassion on them as I had compassion on you? And this is Almighty God speaking to all of us. We need to have compassion, and compassion equals love. Having compassion is a component of love. It's being what He said to be. We are loving as He said to love, as He loved. Love is kind. And being kind means being mild and considerate of others. God's kind to the unthankful. And He's kind to the evil. That's what's written in Luke chapter 6. Even God has kindness for those who have nothing but hatred toward Him. If He didn't, His long suffering would be over and that would be it. They'd all be destroyed. But God, who is rich in mercy, who is rich in love, He loved the world so much that He sent His only begotten Son that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the kind of love. That long-suffering kindness, the compassion that Almighty God from His heart shows to humankind. As we go on, we see that love bears all things. So not only is long-suffering a part of love, but bearing things, carrying weight. And John's a roofer. He knows what it is to carry weight. Others have laid block or brick. You know what it is to carry weight. You carry the hod of mortar. You're carrying some weight. You're bearing a burden, okay? It says love bears all things. And that means that it never stops being patient. Doesn't mean that you walk, don't walk away. Because the Lord says to walk away. In 1 Peter, it's written in chapter 4, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. Not only does Peter take it a notch above what the Lord himself, he says, have it like me. Okay, our Lord says, have it love like I love, and Peter describes it just a little bit tighter. He says, fervent love. Fervent for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. He's referring to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, and he says, be hospitable. Hospitable to one another without grumbling. Love one another without grumbling. Hey, we might not get along because we're all different. We're in different places on our walk. But let me tell you, we're not to grumble about it. Let's walk alongside of our brother and we'll do what we can to help. Now, if our brother runs out the door and says, I don't want your help, we can't stop him. If our sister runs out the door and says, sorry, we say, okay, well, we did all that we can. We're not grumbling about it. We just trust the Lord. Now, in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, it says this, okay? This is what's written. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. And there is the clear picture between hate and love. If you love, you are not stirring up strife. If you love, you are not hating. There's a clear difference. I once had somebody here tell me, hate's not the opposite of love. I said, well, what is? They couldn't tell me. The word says it is. Okay? Hate stirs up strife. Love covers all sins. There's the one against the other. Clear. Now, it's written in Proverbs chapter 17, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Think about that for a moment. Those who forgive, cover a matter, say, okay, it's all right. We'll get through this. We'll work it out. That's love. But those who repeat a matter, you know, that brother of mine, he just stepped on my toes 5 times while we were walking to the store. 5 times. Can you believe that? He stepped on my toes 5 times. Stirring up strife. Stirring up dissension. And the enemy of souls loves nothing more than to get brothers and sisters fighting. Okay? That's the truth of it. Somebody steps on your toes, forgive them, and don't repeat it. You know, we were walking to the store the other day, and they stepped on my toes 5 times, but I forgave them. No. Just let it go. Just let it go, because it hurts you to hold on to it. In Galatians chapter 5, it's written, and starting at the end of verse 13, through love serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. And he's not saying one word like one literal word, he's talking about a phrase, a sentence. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it's filled up. He says the whole of the law is all about loving your neighbor as yourself. Through love, serve one another. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. He's talking to Christians. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to people in the body of Christ. He's talking about people who are calling themselves believers, who are walking in a church, who are a part of a church. And he's saying, but if you bite and devour one another, you're going to be consumed by one another. I think the body of Christ needs to get that message. Love's not just concerned with our wants and our needs and our desires. That's not true love. It's not about me. Love cares for our neighbor and the good things that will be found in them by developing it. It's all about Christ. It's all about building the faith of others. And we're not going to build each other's faith by fighting. You know, you stepped on my toes 5 times, and I repented. I didn't deliberately do it. Truth be told, we that are strong, it's written in Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. Seriously? You mean I've got to bear the burden of my neighbor? And even if my neighbor doesn't help me carry my load, love is not just concerned with you. Love is concerned with Almighty God. What glorifies God? We're not pleasing ourselves. In Colossians chapter 3, it's written, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, excuse me, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It's the same message. It's the same message that Christ gave. It's the same message that Paul gave to the Corinthians. Bear one another's burdens, it's written in Galatians chapter 6, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when they are nothing, they deceive themselves. Anytime we puff ourselves up to be greater than somebody else, we think we're better. We think somehow that if somebody steps on my toes, they better repent, buddy. And if they don't repent, well, I'm going to tell everybody. No. I'm nobody. You know, Bill, I hear Bill say this all the time. I'm nobody. I'm his servant. And I say, you know, praise God. That's where we all need to be. We all need to have that mindset. It's not about me. It's not about me doing anything for me. It's about me doing everything for him. That's the essence of love. That's the heart of loving God as ourselves. We go on, it says, love believes all things. What things? Believes all things? You mean love believes falsehood? No. Love believes the things of God. Love never stops believing the things of God. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, it's written, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. And that is the essence of love, believing. See, when we love Almighty God, we believe what he's written. He's written it, and as I said, he's taken all of those authors, and he's created this book that we call the Bible over thousands of years. Nobody could do that but Almighty God himself. It's his word. It's his truth. It's his will being expressed for us. It's his operating manual. Some call it the basic instructions for before leaving earth. I say it's the instructions. Nothing basic. It is God's instructions for our way to live. And when we really dig into it, like we are this morning, we start to comprehend maybe we're not lining up with the Word like God wants us to. And we need to. We need to get it right. In Psalm 119:66, it's written, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Let's pray that. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Father, teach us good judgment and knowledge. We do believe your commandments. In Psalm 18:30, it's written, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Did you hear that? Another passage of Scripture that tells us he's a shield. He's a shield. He is our shield. And if we love him completely, we are completely shielded. Do you get that? Do you want that kind of protection? Give yourself to him, and he will keep you here on this planet beyond your expectation, shielded by him in his love, because the word tells us God is love. What is love? God is love. And if God is operating within you, you are going to be expressing what he defines love as being, because these are attributes of God. God is love, long-suffering. God is kind. God believes all things. God hopes all things. God knows all things. Love believes all things. All your precepts, it's written in Psalm 119, 128. All your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. We love God's precepts, we hate falsehood. And anything that's contrary to the Word of God, we confront it with the Word of God. This is how it's done. God says, this is love. And so we have to bring that to people whenever we see they're not being loving, even if they think they are. Well, this is what God's Word calls love, and what you're doing is not fitting into that, so maybe you need to make an adjustment. Put on love. It's the bond of perfection. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And see, I'm heavy on Scripture today because I'm not going to give you my opinion on love. I'm going to give you God's opinion on love because that's what He wants you to have. He wants you to develop His opinion on love so that when you're walking in your life, you're not confused by your own opinion because you can look to the Word of God and the Word of God will tell you, this is love. Not what I think is love, but this, the Word of God. Love never stops believing in what? God's Word. Psalm 119 and 160 says, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Do you believe this? If so, then that shows your love for God. He created that word. He printed it. He took people from different eras and put it in their heart, to put it down on whatever they had at that time, whether it was parchment. Moses had stone, and God inscribed it in the stone. This is love. Love hopes all things. It never stops hoping. And it's written that this, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, it's written that this hope in the Messiah is what saves us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. We see this type of hope in the example of the woman who washed the Lord's feet with her tears and her hair. We read that the other week, Luke chapter 7, where that's found. We also see it in the account of Zacchaeus, the rich head tax collector who placed his faith in Christ instead of all of the riches that he had amassed. He became a follower. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Love hopes all things. Love hopes. It believes. It doesn't give up hope. It doesn't give up believing. For we walk by faith, not by sight. It's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, we hear, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, the genuineness of your faith, tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Love believes. We are saved by His work. Love believes. God did this. He loved the world so much. He sent His Son. He lived. He brought souls to God. He was killed. He was buried. And He rose from the grave. That's love. We love Him because He first loved us. That's what's written in the Scripture, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. And the last thing that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love is, love endures all things. It never gives up. Love never gives up. And sometimes even when we have to dust off our feet, we say, well, you know what? There'll be another evangelist that comes along. There'll be another preacher that comes along. There'll be another teacher that comes along. And Almighty God will get the word into the heart of that man or woman. Because we want them to be changed. We want them to be reborn. We want them to be turned from whatever it is that they're doing that's contrary to God. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22, we hear, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But those who endure to the end will be saved. It doesn't say you're going to be loved by all. There's nowhere that Christ or Almighty God, anywhere in the Scripture does it say you will be loved by all. In fact, in one place it says beware when you're loved by all. Why? Because the world doesn't love God. The world doesn't love Christ. And when all flock to, you got to start questioning whether or not you're with God. Now we're going to quickly look at the things that love is not. I mean quickly. I'm not going to give all the references. These are things that reveal the condition of the heart that does not love. These are written in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You can read them for yourself again. Love does not envy. So envy is the opposite of love. And what does it mean to be envious? It means to be heated or to boil with it, okay? You know, you've seen people who are just green with jealousy, is the phrase, right? They're full of hatred or anger. And that's the opposite of love. Being jealous over others is the opposite of love. Love doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. It's not excited by the animal appetites. It's not proud. It's not a braggart. It's not a boaster. Love doesn't have an inordinate self-esteem. And we're teaching our children all to have self-esteem. And you know, we look in the world today and we see everybody's full of self-esteem. How many of them are willing to work hard? How many are willing to love others as they love themselves? That's where we're seeing a breakdown, folks. Love's not puffed up. Doesn't have this conceit of its own excellence. That kind of boasting is opposite of being humble and modest. It's opposite of love. Love doesn't behave rudely. Doesn't act in an unbecoming way. And I've heard people, you don't like it? There's the door. Well, wait a minute. Where's the love? I remember when somebody grabbed my son by his arms, dug their fingernails in him. We do not do that. That is sacred. Oh, well, your behavior is not sacred. Huh. These things have happened. And I look and I say, okay, Lord, I've forgiven. And I use it as an illustration so that none of you who hear this message will be living in an unloving manner. We have to come out of these things. We can't be behaving in an unfitting way. We can't be indecent. We need to be showing that kindness and the warmth of God. Love doesn't behave rudely. Love doesn't seek its own. Love isn't selfish. It's not self-centered. It's not self-seeking. It's not egotistic. Love isn't easily provoked. It's not quick-tempered. It's not irritable. That's what it says in the Scripture. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. The Greek word for thinks means to take inventory. Love doesn't take inventory of evil. Well, what's the word evil mean there? Wrongs or injuries. You know, the illustration I gave you, somebody stepping on somebody's toe by accident, or maybe even intentionally. But you don't take inventory of it. You don't chalk them up. Okay, I got 10. It was 10 here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Love doesn't do that. Doesn't keep a record of wrongs or perceived wrongs. There's no list of the things that you would disagree with in others. That's the Word of God. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Doesn't go for injustice or unrighteousness. It's not going for that thing that violates law and justice. Love rejoices in the truth. And the question becomes, what is truth? Isn't that what Pilate said? God's Word is truth. God's Word, that book that He assembled over thousands of years by the hand of many different authors, that's the truth. Love never fails. It's everlasting. God so loved the world, He hasn't quit loving the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 13, we read, "Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." And so I say yes to loving the way that God said. And if you get doubts about whether you fully comprehend it, read that chapter and read it again and read it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, He tells us what love is and what love is not. And if you start to question yourself, you say, well, am I really truly living in the love as Christ commanded me to? Am I living in that type of love? But what if I don't want to love like it's defined in the Bible, Pastor? You know, after all, these are tough times. And, you know, it's hard to love some people. Some people just are not lovable. Well, throughout this whole series of messages, what have we heard? If we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. And one of the commandments He gave was to love as you've been loved. And if we love Him, we will obey His commandments. He said, love Almighty God completely, love others as ourselves, and all of us must love ourselves enough to forgive ourselves. Ooh, did I say that? Yes, I did. We have to forgive ourselves because, yes, we have fallen short of the glory of God. We have made mistakes. We have deliberately, willfully sinned. And by His grace, He's forgiven us. Those who love Him are known by His kind of sacrificial love. They give themselves to service to their King, and they give themselves to service to others who need what He offers. All of us have to consider that because you have the medicine from the great physician to heal those whose souls are destined for destruction. In John chapter 13, in verse 35, it's written, "By this all will know that you are my disciples." This is our Lord speaking, Christ Himself. "If you have love for one another, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." But you know the opposite's true too. If you don't have love for one another, all will know you are not His disciple. This is critical, folks, because, you know, most places, you're not going to hear a preacher preach that. You're not going to hear him preach the message of Christ, the true message of Christ, that we are to love one another, that we are to love Almighty God, that if we don't, we're showing the world that we are not His. Do we want to be His? Or do we want the world to know that we're theirs, that we belong to the world, and the world has us? "He who has my commandments," Jesus said, "is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." John chapter 14, verse 21. "This is the love of God." It's written in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Can we say amen? His commandments are not burdensome. He said, love one another, and by that, the world will know that you're His. And as I wrap this up, I want you to remember that our Lord, Jesus, the one we call Jesus, Yeshua, He commands His followers to express unlimited love. He doesn't say, here's your limit. He doesn't set some parameters and say, okay, here's where you love, and then forget it. Then you don't have to love anymore. No, not written. He said, teach others to observe everything He commanded too. And see, that's part of loving. Because when we love others, we don't just let them run amok any way they want to run. We say, wait a minute, whoa. Here's what the Word of God says. Here's the Word of God on that idea or that topic or the way that maybe you don't fully understand. And this is why God has given me this message, because we all need to comprehend that He wants us to be people of love. Now, there's a lot that to preach today that's all about love. Nothing can go wrong, and nobody's... No, that's not the message of God's Word. He commanded His followers to love and to teach others to do the same. And so I want you to say yes to loving others enough to share His message of love. Love the way that He loved. And if you don't remember how He loved, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're to teach others to be merciful. We're to teach others to be kind and compassionate. We're to teach others to be forgiving. We're to teach others that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 14. So say yes to loving others enough to tell them this. When they're out of line with the will of God, out of line with the Word of God, say yes. You know what? Let's read this together. Jesus said, love one another, and that they will know you by that. You are mine. And here's what it means to love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is what our Lord wants us to do. He said, my sheep hear my voice. That's His voice, not mine. He speaks through me, though. And I know them, and they follow me. That's what He said. That's written in John chapter 10, verse 27. And so I want you to say yes to God's Messiah. I want you to break down those barriers, get rid of the resistance, no more holding back. Allow Him to get you to love in the way that He loved. Love one another and love God. Love your neighbor, love your enemy. I want you to be such a picture of love that everybody knows you belong to Him. That's the only way for us to live in these times especially. Because we are living in loveless times, folks. There's a lack of love in the world. There is a lack of love in the church. And I mean authentic love. 1 Corinthians 13 love. The love that God shows is His opinion on how love is expressed. He said to actively, continually live in that sacrificial love. So hear what He has to say. Hear what He has to say. And then do it. Just do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Your Word tells us that people will know we belong to You by the fact that we love, and so we ask that You would help us to love. Help us to love sacrificially. Help us to be kind. Help us to rejoice in the truth. Help us, Father, to stand when all else happens that we would stand. Help them to hear, help all of us to hear the voice of Christ and help us, Father, to follow Him. Help us to teach others to observe everything that He commanded. And help us to remember, Father, what Your definition of love is, not ours. Your opinion, Father, not ours. And help us to love in the way that You've loved, in the way that Christ loved. And help us to share that, Father, that we would love You completely and love our neighbor as ourself, because that is what love is. And I pray this all in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. Now, you've got a little insert in your bulletin there, and if you didn't get one, raise your hand. We'll make sure that you get one. Somebody here can run back and get some. It's a great little song. It's called They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love. And it's in the insert.